host will be doing that. So we'll be talking about NASCAR news. And just look out for me on UWW-TV, calling basketball games, softball games, you name it for our spring semester. So that's what I'll be doing.
Tyler Schuerman, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Troy. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. This program is archived on WGTD.org. Just search for Generation Now, and it will pop up. Until next time, bye, everybody.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Manji for WGTD Gateway Radio 91.1 HD, and this is Education Matters, a program that features people of Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, people who are making a difference, who are having a very positive impact on their respective communities, people who are practicing peace. We'd like to thank President Brian Albrecht and Developmental Specialist and Digital Director Troy McDonald, who's with us today, Dave Cole, Dave McGrath, all the program directors here at WGTD Gateway for helping us produce this fine program. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in every Saturday morning. We certainly appreciate you. There have been times when you didn't have any time, and yet you took the time. There have been times when you had enough cares of your own, and yet you cared. There have been times when you had given all that you had to give, and yet you kept on giving. Thank you for making a difference in the life of another human being. You are a gift to humanity. So today we thank Mary Spence and Alexandria Benanti Robinson, who represent Kenosha, downtown Kenosha. Alex is the executive director, Mary is the coordinator, and they're going to talk to us today about all of their efforts to revitalize downtown Kenosha. They're going to talk about snow days, restaurant week. So thank you, Alex and Mary, for coming and being with us this morning. We sure appreciate it. And up front, we thank you for all you're doing to make Kenosha a better place. So who wants to start? Alex, you're smiling, so go ahead.
Sure. Well, thank you for having us on the show. It's been a really great opportunity to be a member of the downtown Kenosha community. We have been working together, Mary and myself, for just under a year in the organization Downtown Kenosha Incorporated, which is a nonprofit through Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Mm-hmm. We're considered a Main Street Wisconsin community. And it's a really great position to revitalize downtown, and it translates to just making cool things happen so people keep coming. Mm-hmm.
Mary, how about you? How are you involved?
Well, I thank you, Joe, sure, for having us. I help Alex. I keep us organized and with the event planning. And right now, our biggest event coming up is Snow Days, mm-hmm, which is ice sculptures that the businesses have sponsored. And also the city of Kenosha has sponsored some sculptures, and it'll be held at Veterans Park, along with being in the surrounding business district. It's just been a lot of fun, mm-hmm, seeing everything come to fruition and seeing all the connections, mm-hmm, with community.
So that's coming up Saturday, February
8th. Saturday, February 8th. It'll be from 2 to 5, and there's an activity with a real ice sculpture, mm-hmm, carving, and there's free rental for ice skates because there's an ice rink over by Veterans Park.
Okay. Remind everybody where Veterans Park is.
That is right by the municipal building on 52nd Street.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this event has gone into, this is our seventh year having the event downtown. And it's really increased every year in engagement mm-hmm. through our businesses. From what I understand, because I was not in the role at that time, from my understanding is that this event just started as an effort to bring some people downtown in a cold mm-hmm. winter month where traditionally, you know, February is a hard month for businesses. Mm-hmm. And what it's transformed to is something that the community looks forward to. They start asking me about snow days before Christmas even starts planning. And we have almost 50 sculptures throughout downtown, and we map that out so that people can explore all the different creations that Art Below Zero, the event designer, does. And they offer the demonstrations in Veterans Memorial Park. We have a few sponsors in the park as well. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be about six or seven sculptures there from some local businesses. We have Julian Associates going to have a very cool selfie station there. We have Clark Dietz. We have Herzing University, who mm-hmm. is coming to our downtown very shortly. They're sponsoring part of the event, as well as some city sponsors through Snap-on Tools, Kenosha Kingfish, Mad City Windows and Baths. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the city of Kenosha as well. So we look forward to it every year. And as it's growing, the event is starting to evolve into a want for more engagement for even later hours. So it goes really well in tandem with the restaurant week that happens in downtown Kenosha as well.
I have two grandsons in Kenosha, and they always look forward to snow days. So the ice rink, so everybody knows, is where the Peanut Butter and Jam concerts were held?
Yes.
That's Veterans Park, so just so everybody knows where to go. And the ice rink opens when?
The ice rink will be open all day.
Okay.
And so you can start ice skating earlier before mm-hmm. the art demos happen.
Sure.
The ice sculpting demos, my apologies. Mm-hmm. And that is sponsored by the city, so that's free ice skating rentals. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a hot chocolate stand over there and a couple little kids' activities in the park also.
I think it's great, all the activities that you have. The tall ships, I don't know if you were responsible for that or worked with that. That was just amazing. The turkey trot. I walked and ran the turkey trot this year. Folks, I came in last. but I got a medal because I was first in my age group. But the kicker is I was the only one in my age group.
It still counts.
I was so proud of myself. And then the realization 10 minutes later, oh, okay, who else? Did I beat someone? No, you were the only one in your age group. But so Snow Days is coming up. Tell us about Restaurant Week, February 1st to the 9th. Am I right?
Yes. So the Restaurant Week is organized by the Visitors Bureau in Kenosha. And the event has completely transformed our downtown into this ultimate dining experience for 9 days. And it's centered countywide, but over half the restaurants are downtown establishments. There's some very great offerings in the $10, $20, and $30 select prefix menus.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick up a passport, either downloading it digitally on the Visiting Bureau's Restaurant Week website, or I think they have some printed copies inside their office. But you get a chance to have some giveaways from the Visitors Bureau. There's just some really cool incentives and interesting menus that come into fruition and oftentimes become permanent staples afterwards.
Can you share, well, first of all, for everybody, where is the Visitors Bureau?
So that is in the Harborview Park building, mm-hmm. which is actually across the street from Veterans Memorial Park. They recently moved from their former location, mm-hmm. and they are housed there across the street from Harborside Common Grounds Coffee Shop.
Okay, everybody knows Common Grounds
yes.
Coffee Shop.
It's
okay.
An anchor.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. Okay, so the passport, can you talk a little bit about that? Does that give people discounts, or are there deals with that, or prizes, or what does that do?
So there are some giveaway options in there. With the passport, you have to just kind of fill out the card to see that you've gone to every location, and you can turn it back into the Visitors Bureau. It's something that we like to promote because it's fun and engaging.
Sure.
For the Visitors Bureau, but they've been the big producers of such an event. It takes a lot of organization, and they have mastered that.
So it's not just restaurants in downtown Kenosha, it's restaurants where?
Throughout Kenosha County. So anyone that is a Visit Kenosha partner gets the opportunity to sign up for the restaurant week. I know that there is a restaurant in Bristol that's going to be participating. I think Bristol 45 Diner is usually part of that. I can be honest and say that I don't know too much about the county restaurants participating, since my niche is in the downtown. But
sure.
There's so about 42.
42 restaurants.
Restaurants.
Is there a listing? Can
yes.
people go on? Where do they go, Mary?
You would go online to the Kenosha website, the Visitors Bureau. And we also have a blurb on our website newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Yeah, there's Mars Cheese Castle, just for instance, is doing something. There's just a 42 businesses. You'd want to go on the website and check it out.
Okay.
And this is an annual event. It just keeps growing every year too. So it's really telling of the enthusiasm that our restaurants have for it.
Mm-hmm. Back to snow days with the, you said there were 50 ice sculptures in downtown Kenosha. Is there a map for people to follow so they can see all of them?
Yes. So it's almost 50. I think we're at 46 sculptures, okay. But close enough. but we have maps that we will be handing out at Veterans Memorial Park on the day of.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a digital map that is listed on our website, downtownkenosha.org. Dash snow days, and it will have a link to it. And then on our physical maps that we show, there's a little scan number that you can pull it up so that it's interactive, because a lot of those locations are so close together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a better view online.
So for kids, are there prizes if they get to all 46 of them? Can you do a check off of some kind?
We don't have that this year. It's a potential in the works for next year, though. What we do offer right now for the event is that if you take a picture next to your favorite sculpture and you post it to our Facebook event or tag us on Instagram at Downtown Kenosha, one random winner will be selected for a little downtown gift card.
Okay. So you guys are in the business of revitalizing downtowns. So everybody listening is going to want to know what's new in downtown Kenosha. What's coming? What can we expect?
Sure. So, you know, I have found that 2020 is kind of a great year for downtown. In the last couple of years, we've seen a real resurgence of entrepreneurial investment in downtown. And a big focus on transforming our historic buildings into great new uses.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worked on a few projects in the last couple of years that will be coming online this year in 2020. Right now we have the APIS Hotel.
APIS, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that is from the Grease and Honey Group. They also have Sazzy Bee Restaurant, The Buzz, and The Garage.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a new endeavor for them. It is an upscale boutique hotel that will also have fine dining restaurant and a rooftop bar. And that has been a huge labor of love and is going to be coming online this spring. We also have...
So getting back to that,
yes.
So that's on near the Dale Jewelers that everybody remembers and... Down the block from the bank, am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. It's on 56, right up by the trolley line, the
okay.
streetcar line.
Okay. So it's in the middle of the block, right? So there's going to be a restaurant and a boutique hotel?
Yep. With the restaurant will be It's a very different concept with a main floor dining. There is some upper floor mezzanine dining opportunities and then the rooftop bar. But then the boutique hotel is within that sphere. So it's going to be nice. I have been able to tour it a couple times, and the rooms are just so expansive and has beautiful modern fixtures. They have such great design concepts. And then the restaurant is just really an experience dining focus. So
Okay, that's going to open when?
Early spring. So I can't give you an exact date, but very, very soon.
Okay, so that's coming. And then you said the Volt Banquet Facility and the old Kenosha Bank, where Authentique is on the first floor. So
yes.
This is going to be where?
This is adjacent to Authentique. So it's part of that building. They are completely redeveloping the old bank lobby. It's still retaining some of its historic features with its marble, and they have a beautiful staircase and a physical vault that is just so picturesque.
Oh, so it's called the Vault Building.
Yes.
I thought it was Vault. So it's V-A-U-L-T, Vault?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my fault. Go ahead.
Yep, so they're going to be opening up early summer, and it's a banquet hall and conference center. And the business owner is Shell from Shell's Bridal. So she also has a shop within that building.
Okay.
And she does event coordinating as well. So it's a great concept happening. And really excited to see how that building's been transformed over the last couple years.
So this is for weddings, or what is it for?
For weddings, banquets, different charity events. I know that some of the Wisconsin pageants have some of their dinners there, are intended to be there. So it's really versatile space to use.
So the old Barden's building, can you talk a little bit about that?
That's yes.
That's going to be what?
That's an exciting project as well. This is a development being built from Whitico Company, and the historic Barden's group are the owners, who are having a couple different tenants there. Right now, they have on the main floor Public Craft Brewing coming in, and they are right now a downtown business, but they're looking for expansion, and they've been a true success story to their product and their drive. So they are now more than quadrupling their space. So they have great potential in the future there. They're going to be on the main floor. And then on the upper floor, it has just been announced that a banquet facility will be opening there as well, called Upper East. And that will be directed by the Circa on 7th Group, Culinary Infusion. So they're really excited to be online. There's some goals for late spring, and we're really hoping to engage in some meaningful events there downtown as well.
Okay, that's pretty exciting. What about Herzing University? That's moving into the old Kenosha News building. I mean, not really old, I mean, but tell us about that.
Sure. Well, parts of that building are pretty historic, so they do have a great component. But, yeah, we're really excited about that project coming down downtown. I've met with Dr. Jeff Hill a couple different occasions when they were looking for expanding their university. Their growth has been tremendous in Kenosha, and they wanted to look at potential where they could grow even further. Part of our job is to show the downtown culture and how to engage with our businesses, with housing potential, with partnering other jobs and organizations. And so we gave him an idea of what the downtown really looks like and how it could be advantageous to move down there. He was connected with the city of Kenosha to see what kind of development improvements can be made in the building. And we were able to help with CABA, Kenosha Area Business Alliance, facilitate not only a facade improvement grant that we offer, but also a use of public engagement for a what's called a CDI grant through Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. So through that, they were able to get some really great incentives to really develop that space. It has a lot of work that they're undergoing right now, but that's going to be hopefully open for classes this fall is their goal. So.
And a course of study, and how many students?
So right now, they're talking about 600, and but they've been expanding every year. So they want to be able to be over that 1,000 threshold within a shorter amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Is there a specific course of study? Is it nursing, or is it everything, or what is it?
Well, it is everything, but they're. Their largest program is the nursing, as well as HR, I believe, was the secondary. Mm-hmm. So the nursing program is really advantageous, being close to the hospital systems in Kenosha. And we found that a lot of the student bases want to stay in this area. Mm-hmm. And so being engaged in a culture where you can really, you know, study, you can live, eat, play in a one set area, it's a good dynamic for them to stay on.
Where would they live?
Well, there is a bunch of development happening in the housing market in Kenosha right now. Right now, the city has announced potential for a couple bigger buildings, and as well as area Kenosha outside of downtown. And there's some great potential with like the market, the lofts, Fifth Avenue lofts. There we go.
Sure.
And the Library Square apartments and such.
So farmers market is huge in Kenosha. I mean, it's huge everywhere. People are talking about it. We go every Saturday morning, of course. The timeline is everybody waits on pins and needles. When's the farmers market open? I mean, I know it exists right now in the building that's, what, almost adjacent to the museum. It's next to Ashling.
Correct. It's in the old...
I think Masons owned the
building or something. It moved from the Rhodey Theater to the Masonic Lodge.
Right.
So, yeah, they are open right now. So they run year-round. But they open in May for the outdoor space and run until October.
Okay. That's such a big draw for people to Kenosha.
It is. So we fight for the title of being the third largest in Wisconsin. So I believe it's between us and Beloit where that stands.
Madison is number one, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And who's two?
It's either...
Kenosha or Beloit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I think there's one Milwaukee market that's pretty large as well.
Because it's expanded quite a bit in the last few years. I mean, it's tremendous, you know.
Yes. Yeah. The Harbor Market Group does a phenomenal job of just attracting quality vendors. You know, it's not just I've experienced farmers markets where it's more of a flea market and in smaller communities. And here you have artisan crafts, you have gourmet cheeses, you have, you know, wines and like wine bottle decor. My apologies. And you have, you know, gourmet coffee and the flowers that come through there. I buy flowers every week when I'm there. So
sure. How's the Stella doing?
They're great. They have really expanded a lot of their dining experience profiles and have started building out a lot of entertainment. And I've been told that their events have just been booking and booking up. So they're doing really well. It was a great catalyst for a lot of investment downtown.
It was. The old Elks Club, as I remember it, and I think it had a swimming pool in the basement. I'm sure it did. But for a while there, it was on tough times, and it was great. Whoever came in and revitalized it did an amazing, almost miraculous job of turning it into something pretty special. So I'm guessing that's helped. So you guys are revitalizing downtowns. So do you have any stories to share, any success stories? Is this your first community, or have you done this before?
So this is my first Main Street community. Mm-hmm. I have worked in municipal work before, and I come from a small business background. My family owns a restaurant actually out in the county, and I grew up just in this entrepreneurial spirit, and it's what really drew me into downtown Kenosha, because you have so many mom and pop businesses that, you know, this has been generations, and yes, it's their passion. So, you know, I connect with a lot of business owners in that way, because I grew up in that. I still have to go back and help my parents once in a while. So, but no, this is my first community that I've worked with in this capacity. And I have been in this role for a little under a year now, but have worked as in Mary's position as a coordinator the year prior, and done some volunteer work, and have known several of the board members for quite some time through my municipal background. And I would say that a lot of the success that comes from us is seeing the growth of the businesses that are existing right now. You have businesses that keep telling us that they're having record-breaking sales. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do a lot of studies to see, you know, what's the impact of some of the events we have, like snow days, and events like our beer garden fundraise for certain projects that come to downtown. Right now, we are working on trying to build up a dynamic streetscape program, mm-hmm. so that, you know, you're really showcasing all the businesses that are there. And then one of our greatest accomplishments right now is our facade improvement grant program, mm-hmm. Because Kenosha has such a historic background and we have such beautiful storefronts.
We do.
We truly do. Mm-hmm. But we also have, when we hit hard times, we hit hard times. So something that we have really worked on is trying to incentivize the redevelopment of some of those spaces, and, you know, fixing up a storefront, being able to give some grant money to go towards that has been huge impact in the community. You know, and they're not huge awards. It's a maximum of $10,000, and that's a 50% match, at least. But we have been able to see projects like the Apis Hotel, where they were given a small grant award, and they have used that for bigger grant projects from the state. They've used it to completely reinvest a building that, you know, some people might have been afraid of a few years ago. Sure. So I'd say our facade program has grown. It's continuing to grow. It's one of our mainstays, and it's something that we're really proud of.
And we are part of a bigger picture as far as the Main Street program. I think the main office is located in, what town is it? Up in, with Aaron?
Madison.
Madison, yep. Right. We're one of, I think, 80 throughout the country, if I'm not mistaken.
We are one of 34 Main Street communities in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and about 80 communities that, it's a concept called Connect Communities and Main Street Communities, 80 in the state. Mm-hmm. So, it's a nationwide program, and we get access to grant awareness. We supply data to the state to let them know the impact of mm-hmm. developing in this area. And we also, we get a lot of resources from there mm-hmm. that gives ideas for fundraising techniques. I know we were talking about fundraising earlier.
Sure.
And gives us samples of great other communities that are doing just amazing things mm-hmm. and programming and involving the arts in the community and creating staples of existence that people want to stay and really enjoy.
The trees on Main Street, that's just, I don't know. It's a point of contention, I think, is the best way to put it.
That's going to change.
What are you guys going to do? Because I get asked that all the time, and we spend time, you know, walking around downtown with our grandsons. But it always comes up, the trees. So what can you do? I mean, every Main Street needs trees. That's my two cents. What are you guys doing to improve the tree concept in downtown Kenosha?
Sure. So that's a really hard question. We are working with the city and trying to offer some beautification ideas. They have Catherine Marks with the city, mm-hmm. does amazing things with flowers and other beautification efforts. And so we are trying to work together to fill some of those tree pots while the trees are growing that are there. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, offsetting some of that with we have a flower basket program downtown that mm-hmm. goes on the street lamps and does large barrels. And
the flower baskets are brilliant. They're amazing. But it's the trees.
Right.
So back to the trees. So what's
well,
happening?
There's trees in pots currently, and it does take some time for them to grow. And they've replaced a couple over the last couple of years. In the meantime, we're talking about, you know, filling them up with flowers so that there's still more greenery in the place. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the future holds of where we can plant trees in downtown again. I can't say that I was a part of any of that process. It was a little before my time. So I'm not sure how that developed, to be honest.
What are some of the biggest challenges in revitalizing a downtown?
I'd say it's always money.
But, for sure.
But, I mean, honestly, I think that would be probably one of the only biggest issues. Mm-hmm. Because we have a community set that is so invested in building a downtown. We have a city that is city department. You know, the mayor has a great vision of making downtown this heart of the city. So we're already steps ahead of some other communities. We're already, you know, working towards this growth that is inevitable. But it's just a matter of getting the right resources of funding and engaging outside communities to recognize that we are the place to be.
Well, you have the trolleys, and they're amazing. And you have the two museums, or actually four museums.
Four museums, yes.
Four museums. They're amazing. The walkway, you know, along the harbor. That's like a 2-mile trek. Have you walked it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. You know, all the way from Eichelman Park, all the way to really the coffee pot.
Yes.
Or
yeah.
The common grounds, at least.
When my when my youngest daughter was born, which is going back about 6 years ago, I had put my oldest into this wonderful summer program that the Kenosha Museum would host. And I walked that entire path with my youngest daughter while she was in class. And I would go all the way to the Kemper Center. And then I would go to Common Ground sometimes for a coffee break and, you know, a feeding session for the baby. Mm-hmm. Or we'd end up at Coffee Pot where we could sit on that patio and eat breakfast and listen to music in the daytime. So it's a fabulous path. And to see all the lakefront is beautiful.
Would you consider, Alex, from the Kemper Center, let's say, to Common Grounds, would you consider mile markers so people would know, okay, this is the half-mile marker? I've seen that in other cities. This is the mile marker. This is the mile-and-a-half marker. This is the 2-mile marker. I think that would bring more walkers to that area because it's a beautiful walk. But people like to know, how far have I walked? You know, and you have a cell phone app, but would you consider that?
Oh, absolutely. That's a very brilliant idea. I have to say I have not thought of that yet, but we're always looking for new ideas.
Yeah, put in mile markers. You know,
mile markers.
There must be a grant money for something, but I think you would get additional walkers if people knew how far they were walking. Because I think everybody takes it for granted, and it's such a beautiful walk around the harbor.
There's even a walkway behind the History Center.
Okay.
By the lighthouse, and that goes towards the beach house, Simmons Island Beach House.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I think the reason I'm bringing it up is I keep coming back. I did the turkey trot or turkey walk run, whatever you want to call it. But there were people at various spots along the way with water, but they told you, they announced how far you're at the mile marker. You're at the 2-mile marker. Keep going. You know, it's kind of an incentive, but I think it would be pretty cool. The other question people have is the art sculptures downtown. Because they're stunning. Who's responsible? And they change often. What can you do to advertise or you know, so let people know what beautiful art sculptures we have?
That's a real good question. They do change, I believe, every other year. And there's a art sculpture committee board, and they are a very dynamic group. You can go on the commission of the Arts Commission, mm-hmm. and find out more through Francisco Loyola and Creative Space. But that's something that is very, that brings a lot of people together.
Would you consider adding additional food trucks to the downtown area? Because usually, even with the peanut butter and jam concerts, there's one. But if you had five or six, since you have the beautiful harbor and you have the walkway and there are benches there, I mean, I would put food trucks up so people could just sit and look at the ocean, the lake and the waves, and, you know, the waves are hypnotizing at times. What do you think?
Well, that's a really good question. Food trucks have some great pros, as mm-hmm. well as some interesting dynamics of just trying to get through the liabilities of having them on the street. And, you know, there's very few designated areas in Kenosha where food trucks can just go. They'd have to have a special event permit. Mm-hmm. I don't know the parameters of all of peanut butter and jam and how the food trucks are housed, to be honest. But I do know that the city of Kenosha is kind of the resource of how we could expand that process, because right now they have not designated certain areas for food trucks, which some communities have. That said, I've seen a growth in food trucks at certain events. Peanut Butter and Jam has had a few more in the last couple of years. We've had food trucks at our annual beer garden, and we do a food truck takeover day. There, it's a cool group to tap into for a pop-up experience. And if we can grow on that, I think there's great potential. Actually, one of the pop-ups that is a food truck is at the Harbor Market. If you ever see them, it's the avocado toast and Fresh Bar. And so they've grown into other pop-up events. And, you know, I think that their idea one day is to one day be a brick and mortar. So that's kind of our initiative, is to always, how do we get them into the next phase? So I personally would welcome food trucks there. It's just a matter of how do we get that to work logistically with the city.
I think downtown Kenosha with the farmers market from May until October is just glorious. You can't beat it. But what ideas do you guys have with the doldrums of winter? Now it's January, February, March. Being in Wisconsin, it's just gray and cloudy like it is outside today. It seems like this is endless. How do you get people to make it through the winter? I mean, football's over. What are the kids going to do? What are parents going to do on Saturdays and Sundays? What is there to draw people to downtown Kenosha?
So, you know, part of what we do are some of those meaningful events, the snow days and the restaurant week. I mean, Valentine's is always going to be a draw that we don't really have to do much promotion for.
What's happening in Valentine's week?
I mean, just general dining experience. Mm-hmm. People take their loved ones out to dinner and, you know, buy flowers from something like Summer's Garden. And,
sure.
you know, there's great boutiques to, you know, shop at. So there's always a good buzz around that weekend. However, I would say that Kenosha does proud its entertainment scene. We have a lot of great music acts that are coming in for open mic nights, for different gallery openings. We have a lot of dynamic events that are smaller scale. They're not the, you know, Taste of Wisconsin mm-hmm. size proportions, but, you know, they're proportionate to the winter climate. We have Kenosha Creative Space, was something we mentioned earlier, is a great gallery that opens a new exhibit quite often. Mm-hmm. And right now they have a feature about Cuba. So mm-hmm. they did an opening reception of that last week that drew a very nice crowd. Coming in next week is a new exhibit at the museum for the Frida exhibit in her gardens. And they're doing a little ceremony to open that up. Mm-hmm. And that will be running through for quite some time.
So Frida, that's the first I've heard of it. Frida's coming to which museum?
To the Kenosha Public Museum. It's like Frida's Gardens.
Okay.
So it's I haven't obviously seen the exhibit yet, but it's supposed to be beautiful. It's kind of a preemptive piece to when the Frida collection comes to Chicago is my mm-hmm. is my guess for that. But they always rotate exhibit around this time of year and do a really nice showcase of that. The streetcar is still open all winter long, mm-hmm. so it's a great opportunity to hop on there to go to the museums and visit, you know, a couple of downtown businesses.
Is there any talk, Alex, of streetcar expansion? That was the big talk of the town a few years ago, and then it kind of just stopped.
I think currently that isn't on the radar yet
okay.
to come back yet.
Okay.
So
the open space downtown across from Veterans Park, have you ever thought of putting a bocce ball set up there or soccer for kids? I mean, you have also the space on the other side of the farmer's market just west of Ashling on the Wow.
Yes, I think I want to say that's Lot J.
Okay.
So those are owned by the city, and I can't tell you if they have been thought of for development at this time. I know that the mayor's master plan for downtown Kenosha has some development options there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not 100% sure if it's supposed to be for a public open space or a building. He's kind of working through phases. Mm-hmm. So right now those are city owned lots. I know at one time Lot A, which is the one you're talking about near Veterans Park, had showcased, you know, a couple pop-up movies. Mm-hmm. So there's always use of that space for the temporary purpose, which is great to showcase what could be developed in the future.
I think the pop-up movies would be a great idea. A while back at the Southport Beach House, there was an organization that put up old Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movies on the beach, and they were dressed in tuxedos and served popcorn and hot chocolate. I mean, that's something that would draw people for the evenings downtown.
Yeah, that's a lovely idea.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much, I think, that is possible with those. It's space, you know, and so that's always good for a downtown. We're about 3 minutes to go, folks, and we're here with Alex Benanti Robinson and Mary Spence, and they represent downtown Kenosha, and they're full of great ideas for revitalizing Kenosha. It's on its way. Lots of great things are coming. Ever thought of a keynote store? You know, the old, I'm thinking like Duluth Trading, something that's unusual that would bring people down to downtown Kenosha. Any thought of bringing something like that in?
So my apologies. I do not know what Duluth Trading is.
Duluth Trading is in Port Washington. It's from Minnesota. It's kind of like an REI outdoor fitters kind of thing. I mean, they sell all kinds of things. They have great ads. It's underwear, clothing, primarily clothing.
Sure.
I think we kind of have those stores such as Jockey mm-hmm. That is like a mainstay in our community.
Right, but Jockey sells underwear. It doesn't sell skis and outdoor.
That's
you
true.
Know,
that's
coats
true.
And jackets and like L.L. Bean or whatever. Would you consider? I mean, there's that space, you know, on the north side of downtown, the empty space. The store was there for 100 years, and then it's just empty. The pie, next to the pie, the same block is the pie place.
Oh, the. Not
the Orpheum Theater?
Well, yeah.
That's where we're located
actually.
That's been converted to a co-working space, and they're redeveloping the theater to bring it back to a theater.
Okay, well, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. That's where we reconnected, Joe, right?
Yes,
in front of that
it is.
Building.
Yes, because I'm an avid fan of the pies.
Elsie May pies. Yes.
By the way, folks, if you haven't been down there, they're glorious. So. We're finishing up with Mary Spence and Alex Robinson. Any last thoughts?
I have just a few addresses real quick. For the Apis, 614 56th. Okay. The Vault Banquet Hall is 625 57th. And the Barden's Building is on the northeast corner of 7th. And that Frida exhibit goes from January 28th to March 16th at the Kenosha Public Library. Okay. Or museum, I'm sorry, museum.
We're closing up. Mary Spence, Alex Benani, Robert.